Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
So therefore, we don't keep our brother. We don't reach to our brother. We back up and we say some little pious thing. I'll pray for you. That's good. But prayer without legs, without action. When we have legs and we can take action. Am I my brother's keeper? Absolutely. Through worship, he'll open our eyes. We'll begin to see people as God sees them. And see ourselves as God sees us.
The truth is, you are your brother's keeper. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his message, Rejected, and helps you see how a heart focused on your own needs will rob you of life. Stay with us to hear that powerful message from Dr. Young next on The Winning Walk. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely new sermon series from Dr. Young called The Church Awake. In the midst of our decaying world, this series sounds an inspiring call for the church to wake up and be engaged in our culture with clarity and conviction on the issues that matter, standing firmly on truth instead of bowing to the whims of the world. We'll send you this series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request The Church Awake when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Rejection.
And because God sacrificed the lamb or the animal and made skins for Adam and Eve in the garden, this is a part of the blood that's necessary for there to be worship before the Lord. Now, my problem with this now is I've studied, this is pre-Mosaic law. And I firmly believe that if Cain, for example, had said to Abel, I'm going to give you some corn and some beans and some watermelons, and if you'll give me one of those lambs to offer. And certainly they were bartering. They were brothers. You know, they didn't eat only meat or vegetables. They would barter. They lived in the same family, though they had different vocations. But I think if that had happened and Cain had offered a blood sacrifice, I think it'd been the same results. I do. Because this offering was not an offering for sin, Cain or Abel's. It was an offering, a dedication offering, which means I come and this offering is a symbol of giving my whole self to God. It's like marriage. When you get married, you give your ring to your mate and your mate gives a ring to you. And by giving that ring, you're saying, I give all of me to you. And your mate says, I give all of me to you. With no hidden relationships back here. It's a totality. These are dedication offerings. One, fruit of the ground, farmer. One, a lamb. And he says that God had no respect for the offering of Cain, but God had respect for the offering of Abel. And so we go back, well, because of the blood. And certainly the offering of Abel must have been very dramatic. You know, sheep sort of identify with humans. Sheep are so dependent as animals. And you can see one of the finest of the flock, Abel had gotten that little lamb, and the lamb with the liquid eyes and the warmth, and suddenly he took a knife and cut its throat, and the blood was shed. And this offering was centered on the lamb and the quality of the offering of Abel. That's so important, and God received that offering. But here's the offering of Cain. said God rejected, God did not respect that offering. Now, what was going on here? It follows up, it says what Cain did when he understood God did not respect, did not accept his offering, is that Cain got angry, he got mad, and his countenance fell. He went into deep depression. Now, I have battled with that through a zillion commentaries, and none of them have given me a sensible answer. But finally, I believe, under God, I've got it. I couldn't figure out why in the world Cain, God says, I do not respect your offering, became so angry and went into depression. Now, as a metaphor, you could say that Abel's offering, smoke came up from it, and the smoke was a sweet flavor to the Lord, and Cain's offering, the smoke went down and had a stench to it, and that's all speculation. It's good preaching. It's just not good exegesis. Why did Cain get so mad? Let me tell you why. It's what his heart and his hands and his life said about the offering he gave. I think Cain's offering was a big offering. I think he had watermelons. I think he had plums. I think he had flowers. He had daisies. He had pears. He had all kinds of fruit and vegetables. And I think he spread that offering out on the altar. And I think everybody watched that. Woo, man, what a beautiful, magnificent, showy, grandiose offering that Cain is giving as he is a man of the field. Okay? So when God rejected this, I think, elaborate offering, when God rejected that, Cain was angry, depressed. Why? What was behind the offering? I think Cain was trying to say to mom and dad, Adam and Eve, I have conquered the ground that was cursed because of your sin, and by the sweat of my brow, by weeding and harvesting and planting and plowing and patience of seasons, and by my hard hands and my calloused hand, I have worked and worked and worked and worked, and look what I've done. I have defeated the ground that was cursed by your sin. Look at it, mom and dad. Look at what I have produced. Also, I think he was saying, look at my puny little brother, what he's done. He's killed that helpless little lamb there and all the blood and all the mess. Man, I'm so superior to him. Don't you see it? And I think maybe the bottom of this was, Cain expected God to say, that's my boy. I'm so proud of you. Look at this elaborate offering from all that you have done. But God rejected it out of hand. No. I won't receive this. That, I believe, is the reason Cain got mad and went into depression. Now, I want to, right here, to discover what I think I discovered. This is the beginning of amazing grace. Chapter 1 and 2, we see God giving Adam and Eve a chance, even after him booted them out of paradise. That's grace, the slaying of the animal, that's grace. But this is amazing grace, the grace that God shows toward Saul. Not Saul, but Cain. I want you to look at it. Look at the grace that he shows toward Cain. It's amazing. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, you will not be accepted. If you do well, you will be accepted. That's very simple. Somebody said, oh, I'm depressed. I don't know why. Ask God, he'll tell you. Zip, you'll know in a hurry. Yep, works every time. Oh, yes, just get alone, just think about it. I'm angry, I don't know why I'm so angry. Just ask God, he'll show you. Oh, it works every time, sure. You don't believe it, just try it. I remember years ago, a woman came down the aisle, she was crying, she said, Pastor, I'm down here, I just got some sin, I don't know what it is. I said, guess at it. You know, she guessed it the first time, it was really amazing, wasn't it? So God said to Cain, Cain, man, if you do well, you got clean hands, pure heart, I'm in the center of your life. You're living a life on the basis of truth. Hey, your offer will be accepted, but that's not where you are. Your offer was given for, there's no business like show business. That's what your offer is all about. And then we see the amazing grace of God, because now God warns Cain. When God speaks audibly, warns Cain, it's really something. Look at the warning that God gives to Cain. It's a powerful thing. And he says, and if you do not well, sin crouches at your door. He's saying to Cain, sin crouches, and its desire is for you. Sin wants to consume you, but you should have victory. You should rule over it. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. He said, sin is crouching at your door. And the word there in the Hebrew has to do with a wild animal. How many of you own a cat or have ever owned a cat? Lift your hand. I have. We've had a lot of cats. And one cat was named Claws. And Claws, I think, like a lot of cats, would go and kill squirrels and birds and bring them at the door. I'd come in, I always had to pick up a bird or a squirrel that Claws had captured for us, brought to the door of our house. Some of you are familiar with that. And cats are something. And this is a picture of an animal, a lion, a panther, or something, crouching. And God says to Cain, here is an animal crouching. This is sin crouching for you. Now notice something. When your cat spots something and is stalking, your cat gets down. Your cat gets smaller. The cat crouches down. The point here, God sees your sin as big, and you see your sin, and I see my sin as small. Just a small thing. And, you know, we take lust and put a little ball and put it on the side. It's no big thing. It can lead to adultery. We take greed and put it on one side. It's no small thing. It's a little bitty thing in my life. It can lead to take advantage of people to get. So sin crouching is a picture of an animal, of a cat that is crouching there who appears to be very small, doesn't he? He wants to get small so the prey won't see it. And so we see our sin as small and others, and God sees our sin as big. But sin hides itself, doesn't it? Sin seeks to not be seen. So God's saying to Cain, Cain, there's a wild animal, a wild cat that's crouching there that wants to consume you, wants to get you. He said he wants to eat you up. He wants to swallow you up. That's what sin does. Every sin we commit has the possibility of an addiction. Every sin. Just name anything. Get the roll out. Call them out. It has the possibility of addiction. And you see, once I have sin, and then I turn away, and once I have sin, and I have sin, and I can turn away, once I have sin, and I have sin, and then somewhere along the way, sin will have me, and sin will have you. That's what addiction is. So God warns Cain. He said, Cain, sin is crouching there. Sin seems very small, Cain. I just reject your offering, but it's really a big thing, Cain, in my sight. And sin wants to swallow you up and ruin your life, Cain. But he says you're going to have victory over it. It doesn't have to be like that. Isn't that terrific? And that's true of all of us. Paul tells us, he that is within you, that's Christ, is greater than he that's in the world. We have the capacity in our lives to have victory. And we know sin is crouching, appears to be very small. It's much bigger than that. And sin will gobble us up, but we can have victory through Jesus Christ if we use the power that's in the life of everyone who walks with Christ. Then we see that's amazing grace. God warning Saul. But what does Saul do? It's just, you say, well, I just can't believe that. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Oh, God warned him, grace. And Cain killed his brother Abel. Way to take care of the competition, just wipe it out, eliminate it. Then the Lord said to Cain, more grace here, where is Abel your brother? And Cain lied, I do not know. Cain already had invented Webster's word of the year, post-truth. I don't know where he is. Then he asked that very well-known question, am I my brother's keeper? You know, we're not our brother's keeper because we realize to reach out to people, to help people, to love people when their life is in a mess, you'll end up in the middle of that mess yourself. And it sure is expensive to get in a lot of these messes, isn't it? So therefore, we don't keep our brother. We don't reach to our brother. We back up and we say some little pious thing, I'll pray for you. That's good. But prayer without legs, without action, when we have legs and we can take action, am I my brother's keeper? Then we have the response. And he said, what have you done? This is God. And he goes on, he talks about the ground, the punishment of Cain. You'll no longer be a farmer. You no longer have that to your credit. And he says, you're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. Then he comes to verse number 13. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you've driven me out this land from the face of the ground, and I shall be hidden from your face. In other words, I can no longer farm. I can no longer go in your presence. And Cain says, I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. Here's more grace, 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 grace from God. Amazing, amazing, amazing grace. And the Lord said to him, now Cain doesn't confess sin. He doesn't repent sin. He doesn't show any regret, but God still reaches out with grace and grace and grace. It's just amazing grace here. Even wandering in the land of Nod, God still exercised mercy and grace. How many of you have ever seen or heard the music, or perhaps seen the musical Les Miserables, Les Mis? Lift your hand. Great music. Great story. Most of us, if you've seen it or heard the music, we've forgotten the story behind it. Victor Hugo wrote this book, and it's a book about a guy named Jean Valjean. John, when he was a young boy, stole a loaf of bread to feed his little sister who was starving to death. He was found out about and put in prison for 19 years for stealing a loaf of bread. When he got out of a prison, he couldn't get a job. He was a convict. His life wandered around, and finally a kindly bishop picked him up and took him in, began to love him and encourage him and help him. But he'd been around thieves and convicts and the immoral people so long. One night he saw the silver spoons and forks in the cabinet there in the bishop's home, and he took those and put them in his pocket. In the middle of the night, he ran. He was caught by the police, and they recognized him as Jean Valjean, the convict, and they took him back to the bishop to return the forks and the knives. And when he went back in, the bishop said, Jean Valjean, welcome, my brother. I couldn't understand that when you left, you did not take the candlesticks that I gave you. You took the spoons and the forks, but I gave you these candlesticks. They're silver too. They're worth 400 francs. Well, the police were stunned and they left. And the bishop said to Jean Valjean, he said, oh, John, he said, I have given you this so you'll have money, so you'll become an honest man. He said, but more than that, John, I have bought your soul. And I have brought your soul out of hell into light, and I've given your soul to God. Go and live like that. And the rest of the story is a story of Jean Valjean, a changed man, being his brother's brother everywhere, sacrificially giving his life. Amazing story. amazing story of the grace of God. Listen, if you're not really worshiping, the problem is not, I need a new book, I need a new method, I need a new place. It's with all of us. Hands, heart, the center of our lives, living on truth. You see, when we go to worship, God, first of all, has you and me to deal with the trash in our lives, and then he'll open up the heavens and he'll bring us out of the land of nod, of wondering, in the land of service and love, and we'll learn to speak the language of heaven. You know what the language of heaven is? So I said, well, we're going to speak Spanish or French or Farsi, or what's going to be the language of heaven? I can tell you what it is. It's the language of love. And we have to learn to speak the language of love in Christ on this earth, so be we ready to speak the language of love forever and forever in heaven. Am I my brother's keeper? Absolutely. Through worship, he'll open our eyes. We'll begin to see people as God sees them, and see ourselves as God sees us. And perhaps we'll begin, we won't be fluent. We'll still stutter a lot. Perhaps begin to, by the grace of God, in this life, to speak the language of love, the language of eternity.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, your message today said a lot about making sure the heart behind your worship is pure. What are some practical ways to refocus our heart?
Well, I've mentioned it many times. A practical way is to begin every morning and with the Lord. That's that narrow worship, that private worshiping time we do every day. That begins the day in the right way. C.S. Lewis said that every morning so many of us wake up, we're being attacked by wild animals. What does he mean? He's saying, and I've experienced this many times, perhaps you have too, you wake up in the morning, hear these animals coming. You need to do this, you need to say this, you need to go there, you need to spend your passion, your energy there. People, events, pulling on us. Lewis says if we'll begin the morning in a quiet place, in the Word, with prayer, with listening, it's amazing how those wild animals will be pushed away, and you'll be able to make wise decisions about your day and about your time, about priority, and God will give you discernment, and that will change your life.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a brand new series by Dr. Young called The Church Awake. We can all agree the world is broken, and in this timely new series, Dr. Young equips you to be the salt and light Jesus calls you to be by engaging our decaying culture on some of today's most controversial issues. This series is our thanks for your gift to support and keep this program going strong. So call now to request The Church Awake when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening to The Winning Walk today. Join us again tomorrow for proven truth from God's Word about how you can build up a faith as strong as Noah's. You're going to be encouraged.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK.